What it says is, wait a minute, there's a person, there's an objective reality that we're aiming towards.
Some of the questions today that people ask is, who wrote the Bible? Who wrote the book? This book that you Christians say that you stand and fall on. Another question is, how do I know that the Bible can be trusted above all other types of religious books, religious ideas? How many ways are there to please God and to get to heaven and interpret this Bible, this book, this mandate which we as Christians trust in? These are questions.
Now, you see what I'm doing, and I'm breaking in because I want to bring your mind into this. This was a very important sermon. Keep this in mind. Our senior pastor had died. And remember, I was not trying to vie for the position of senior pastor. It was my role as a minister of the gospel to keep the children of God focused upon the word of God, not focus upon a pastor who had built a new building, who had watched the church disintegrate under good biblical teaching himself. So that was my objective in preaching. There has to be an objective, brothers, when you get behind that pulpit. Sisters, if you're Bible teachers, you can do this as you teach the ladies and the children in your independent Bible studies. But brothers, as you lead the church, the objective is stronger than your greed for position and prestige.
And basically, what is the basis of my and of your Christian belief? What is the basis? What is the grounds of you Christians saying that you believe in Jesus? And one way to answer that is that we must ignore the basic response in a lot of churches where they say, well, if you don't believe what I believe, that's all right. I'll stand on my belief and you can fall on yours. No, we can't ignore the questions. We must address them. And in addressing these questions, we have to seek the one that can give us an all-conclusive, that means a resolve in the answer, and a definite and authoritative answer. Who is the one that can give us the answer to these questions?
Good question. That's good.
Listen. I heard it in the background. Someone said Jesus. They just sung about him. Our faith rests on him. And I agree with the voice in the background. The subject is, based on verse 53 of our text, John chapter 8, who is this Jesus?
Now, brethren, that's a pretty good introduction. You ask a bunch of questions. You stimulate the minds of the listener because that's why they're in front of you on Sunday morning when they come to worship. They're not there for a show. They're not there to be entertained. Every Sunday of your life, when you bring the Word of God, they are there for you to present an idea that is going to challenge them for absolutely the rest of their Christian experience.
Who is he? The basis of the fundamental ground of the Christian belief. My faith, as it says in the song, is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. That's what it's all about. I began this search of questions with this sermon, who is this Jesus, based on verse 53. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, ask the Jews, which is dead, and the prophets, which are dead? Whom makest thou self? Who do you make yourself to be, Jesus? Who are you anyway? How dare you stand before us and say that you are the finality of everything? Who are you? People are asking that same question today. They're asking that very same question. Two basic principles in this sermon this morning, church, that Christianity is Christ. Get this. Christianity is solely Christ. Christianity is not an organizational plan. Christianity is not a development of programs, but Christianity is fundamentally and foundationally Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. The whole lifestyle, the mannerisms, the themes, the love, the actions, the stimulus, all resolve from one, this Jesus. All from him. It is all centered in Christ. My Christianity is not centered in me being a minister. Yours is not centered in being in the choir, being a lay member. It isn't centered in how much book you read. It's not centered in how much knowledge you have. It's centered in knowing Jesus. I met a man this week. I meet people every week. And this man, he said that he would visit us, and I do hope that he visits us sometimes. He appears to be a Christian, very learned man, scholarly man in a seminary in South America. And we were discussing just some of the basic beliefs of Christianity today. And this man is of course, a Latino background, but he looks like me. He's from Colombia, I believe. And we had struck up a conversation, and in our talking and speaking, he is of the Baptist background. He mentioned that he mentioned some Latino Baptist churches. And he says, Mr. Coleman, it amazes me that I see a lot of the churches leaning towards this new type of Christianity, these new isms going around. They seem so easily to swallow a lot of things. And the individual said, you see, I've done a little study in languages and a little bit in the Greek, and we were talking about Matthew 24, about end time stuff, when Jesus said that all will be fulfilled until this generation is passed away, somewhat like that. And he went into that word generation, and he told me, and this was beautiful. And I'm mentioning this for a reason, because Christianity is Christ. And he says, if you look at that word generation, that had in mind that generation that Jesus was speaking to, not something way beyond this. And he said, the pastor, when he preached, was speaking about something way after this. And he said, Mr. Coleman, it didn't make any sense to me. And I said, well, that's because, unfortunately, a lot of people do not believe in studying this through the total context of what it says. And I said that because if Christianity is truly Christ, even pastors will look at the sayings of Christ and keep it in its what? In its context. And you're going to meet people in the street every week like I do if your eyes are open. And I thank God that I met this man, because that showed me that there are others out there that follow the way of truth. If you take Christ from Christianity, you know what it becomes? Church. I'm talking about the basis of your Christian belief. You take Christ from Christianity and it's nothing less than a hollow pagan rite. That's all it is. A hollow pagan rite. That's what your religion becomes without Christ. There is nothing left. I'm saying that Christ is the center and the circumference. He is the middle of it and he surrounds it. He holds it all together. And I'm also saying that Christ is divine. In these series, two themes: that Christ is Christianity, and the second part of that theme is that Christ is totally divine, totally God. Therefore, his teachings are totally true. Totally true. Everything that Jesus said, we will see this morning, is totally true. In other words, this becomes a given. Now, what does that mean? A given means a material from which judgments are made. If you do not believe that Jesus Christ is divine, you cannot be a Christian. Amen. The given is the substance and the total of everything that he is. He is totally divine. Amen. Unless you accept that given, you can't go beyond this point. He is truly God. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Since Christ is supposed to be living in us Christians, that's exactly the same question that's going to be posed to you. Who do you make yourself out to be, saying that you can live this way? Well, I'm going to let Jesus answer. Who are you, Jesus? Who are you anyway? I'm going to let the Lord answer you this morning from the Word of God. I am the bread of life.
Now, right here is where I begin to get into the meat of the substance of the message. You've been listening, and I wanted you to get caught up into that because it's important for you to do that. But I'm going straight directly from the text. Okay, from John chapter 8, verses 48 through 53. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. What am I trying to do? What is my attempt? I'm attempting to let the people in the audience know who their Savior is. In all the preaching, the demonstrative analysis of the man of God is to do nothing less than to teach the people not the things that you think they already know, but as God places this message on your heart, teach it to them as if they are hearing it for the very first time in their lives. Because trust me, my friends, when most people go to church, they aren't listening to the sermon at all. They're looking to see who's there. They're looking to see how your wife is dressed. They're looking to see how your children behave. Some of them are there to judge. And I'm going to play more of this in substance now because I want you to try to outline and put together, because this is one of the points in the message. Now, homiletically speaking, I could have defined the points that I'm going through, but I didn't do that every time I preached. This was a pastoral sermon. I wanted them to know about their identity with their Christ.
That cometh down from heaven. I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Who are you, Jesus? The basis of your belief now. He says that he is the bread of life. He is the substance, the universal substance for man. All men need spiritual life. Christ says, I am that life. Now you may be saying, but John, I see men walking around every day alive. Are they? Spiritually dead men. And Christ says that I am the bread of life. And he that cometh to me, this is your part, shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Any and all can feed on Christ. Who is this Jesus? He says, I am the sustainer of all mankind. Feed on me. I have a question for you. What's your hunger this morning? See, a lot of people have a lot of hungers, and I'm saying that Christ can be the food for you. Christ also said in John 6:35, this very verse that I quoted from, that you'll never thirst. Now, if he says that you will never thirst, that has to do with spiritual thirst. Thirsting for the word of God, thirsting for joy, thirsting for truth, this will never happen. Jesus will never deceive you. Ever. Satan promises you bread, but he gives you crumbs. Jesus promises you bread and water. He provides for your spiritual thirst. He will never deceive you. All that believe on Jesus can become satisfied. The longing is done with. Who is this Jesus? This man that we saints follow. Only on Sunday? When you come here, you're only filled on Sunday morning. Who is this Jesus? He answers us in John 8 and 12. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus says, I'll tell you exactly who I am. I am light for a dark world. I am the light that lightens it up. Because all men are walking in sin and darkness. Now, if you don't believe me, go home tonight. Go home tonight. You don't believe me, turn on the news on the way home tonight. You don't believe me, look out the window. We are living in a very dark world. Jesus is a light in a dark world. Now this is to you Christians very personally. Jesus is a light when sin runs a blitz on you. You get this? When sin runs a blitz on you, and you know what a blitz is, when you look at football, and what is it? Usually it's third down and 2 yards to go. The quarterback has the ball, and he's getting ready to give it to his team, and the defense blitzes the quarterback. What he tries to do is to blow him out of the pocket. And that's exactly what Satan is attempting to do to the church today. In these end times, is to blow us out of the pocket. Jesus Christ is a light as I only follow him. That's conditional. He says, but we'll have the light of life. But belief is involved in that. Don't think that coming to church automatically you have the light. You have to believe on him. Who is this Jesus? He is a light as I follow him, as I give attention to him. The question that I have for you this morning, church, is, when people ask you this question, who is this Jesus? Is he your light? Is he the light that walks before you? Jesus is answering us this morning. Verse 53, the Pharisees, his contemporaries, those religious leaders that had the truth housed in the book, Jesus speaks with them and they say, again, are you greater than our father Abraham? Jesus goes on and he answers and he says in John 8 and 12, which I've already read, I am the light of the world. But then he goes beyond further than that and says, I am, and get this now, the basis of my Christian belief is in Jesus Christ, who he is to me. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, and let me stop right there.